Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, we're continuing this talk about stress. And when we talk about stress, what are we talking about? We are talking about a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. So what we see is right here is that whenever we face a challenge or a demand, that challenge or demand creates strain and tension in our life. That strain and tension in our life gives us the feeling of stress. Now, whenever you read your Bible, you are not going to read the word stress in your Bible, but what you will read about is stories about trouble. What you will read is verses about trials. And even Jesus talked about this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek the kingdom above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Now, I want you to see that Jesus is saying that there is going to be trouble in your today. As He is instructing us, hey, don't worry about tomorrow, He's not living in denial about the fact that there is trouble today. But look what also Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." You see, Jesus was letting us know that there will be trouble in your day, but just because there is trouble in your day doesn't mean there has to be trouble in your heart. You see, trouble can be all around you, but you can still have trust on the inside of you. And whenever Jesus gives us this instruction and He says, hey, seek the kingdom of God above all else, I want you to understand that you're not seeking the kingdom of God to escape trouble. No, you seek the kingdom of God to learn how to live righteously. You seek the kingdom of God to learn how to live rightly, to learn how to live God's way, so that you will have everything you need to handle the trouble that comes in your life. You see, that is very important. We don't pray and seek the kingdom and worship and follow God to try to avoid trouble or escape trouble. No, we follow God so that we can be equipped to handle the trouble whenever it comes. This is why we pray. This is why we fast. This is why we worship. This is why we study the Bible. This is why we read books. This is why we listen to sermons, because I want to keep the trouble that is in front of me from getting on the inside of me. Jesus said, your day is going to have trouble, but do not let your hearts be troubled. You see, that means it's possible. It's possible for there to be trouble in the world. It's possible for there to be trials in your family. And even though it is around you, it does not have to thrive on the inside of you. But let's be honest for a moment. Let's be honest and say that in life, trouble can start compounding day by day. And I was good day one when trouble showed up. I was even good in week one. But what about when days, weeks, challenges, and trials begin to stack on top of each other? And this is just a fact of life. And this is why we have to talk about it. Because whenever we experience this feeling of stress that comes from this challenge and demand, this strain and this tension, what we've been talking about the last few weeks is that stress can show up as frustration. But not just frustration. We also said that stress can show up in our lives as fear. But today we're going to talk about how stress can show up in our lives as fatigue. Stress can show up as weariness. Stress can show up as fatigue. Let me give you a definition for the word fatigue. Fatigue is weariness from bodily or mental exertion. There's actually a phrase in civil engineering that says fatigue is this. It's the weakening or the breakdown of material subjected to stress. Now, I know that might be a civil engineering term, but I want you to see how it works the same way in our lives. Over time, as stress begins to build and pressures begin to compound, we begin to experience this weakness or this breaking in our lives. And just the way that we've said these last few weeks, that if we cannot get rid of challenges and demands, and I think we would all agree, we can't get rid of that. And if we can't get rid of challenges and demands, that means we can't get rid of strain and tension. And if we cannot get rid of strain and tension, then we cannot get rid of the feeling of stress. And this is why we're talking about handling it. Because if I don't learn how to handle stress, if I don't learn how to manage my thoughts, manage my emotions, and manage my actions, if I cannot do that successfully and I cannot overcome stress in my life, then stress will overwhelm my life. I love this quote from Dale Carnegie, and it says this: our fatigue is often caused not by work, but by worry, frustration, and resentment. I want you to see that again. Our fatigue is often caused not by work. It's not because you've been working so hard or working so many hours. What he's saying here is that many times our fatigue, that weariness, that mental exhaustion and exertion, it is caused by worry, frustration, and resentment. See, we need to understand that the frustration and the fear in our lives will feed the fatigue of our lives. The frustration that we are feeling, that fear, that worry that we are feeling, it begins to feed this fatigue. And it makes the fatigue even worse in our lives. The more fear that we feel, the more frustration that we feel, the more hopelessness that we feel, the more discouraged that we get. And our fatigue begins to grow because these things are feeding that fatigue in our lives. But don't think for a moment that God is surprised by the fatigue. Don't think for a moment that God is shocked whenever we are weary, whenever we are exhausted. God knows the impact that tension and strain and stress and pressure can have on us mentally and emotionally and even physically. And I believe that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me." Do you notice the question that Jesus asked right at the very beginning? He says, "Are you weary? Are you weary?" For the last few weeks, as we've been talking about stress and frustration and stress coming out in fear, we've said the first thing that you have to do in order to do anything about that is you have to recognize. And it's no different whenever we are dealing with fatigue. We must first recognize that fatigue, because that's what Jesus just said. Jesus said, "Are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden?" And when Jesus asked the question, he's making us recognize. And the scripture says, then, if that means if those are your circumstances, If that is the case in your life, if you recognize that you are fatigued, if you recognize that you are weary, Jesus says, then this is what you need to do. This is the appropriate response, is that you need to come to me. And Jesus says, if you will come to me, then I will refresh your life. He says, I will refresh your life. I will give you rest for your soul. Look at me and listen to me right now. You might be weary, but you don't have to stay weary. If you recognize right now that I am weary, if you recognize right now that the stress and the pressures of life have created fatigue on the inside of you, you don't have to stay weary. Instead, you can be refreshed. Why? Because Jesus said, I am your oasis. I am your oasis. Do you remember the woman in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well? Jesus and his disciples had been on a long journey. It was a hot day. Jesus sends the disciples into town to find some food, and he sits down by the well. The Bible says that he was tired. He was exhausted. There was a woman that comes to the well, and Jesus asks her for a drink. They get into this conversation, and eventually the conversation leads to Jesus saying, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. And she's like, but sir, you don't even have a bucket. You don't have. And Jesus says, no, what I am offering you is not water that comes from Jacob's well. What I am offering you is living water. What Jesus was really saying is, I want to give you rest for your restless soul. You see, you know this lady had a restless soul because she had been married 5 times. She was living with another person that she wasn't even married to, and she was never satisfied. She was always looking for something else. And Jesus was saying, I want to give you rest for that restlessness that is on the inside of you. And this is what Jesus says to all of us. I am your oasis. I am your living water. I am what you need. And right there in Matthew 11, Jesus continues on and he says, simply join your life with mine. He says, learn my ways and find rest in me. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, I want to teach you how to live. I want to teach you how to live so that you can live in the same grace and in the same rest that I live in. Jesus is saying, I want to show you what's really important. I want to show you how you can really love your enemy. I want to show you how you can forgive those people that mistreat you. I want to show you how to live this life on this earth. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14, 12, this is written by Solomon, one of the wisest people ever to live. And this is what he says. He says, there is a way that seems right to a person, but eventually it ends in death. There is a way. There is a way that seems right. There is a way that can even be justified. There is a way that even makes rational sense, but the scripture says that that way, it will end in death. Now, death is merely separation from God. It's separation from God's way. It's separation from life because God's way is a way of life. His way is a way of fulfillment. His way is a way of satisfaction. That is the way of God. And whenever we go our way, even though we have great reasons and we say, well, doesn't this just make sense? Surely, wouldn't this be the way that God would want us to go? Whenever we don't find ourselves in the Word of God, building our life off of His Word, we can be going in a direction that makes sense, in a way that we can even justify. We can be moving in that direction, but the scripture says at the end of that road is death, because you will realize that that was not God's way, and you will get to the end of that road only realizing now that you have separated yourself from God's real way. Let me give you just an example right out of the scriptures. And this is when Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being tempted by the devil. And the scripture says that he's been there for 40 days, that he's been fasting and praying for 40 days. And then he's tempted by Satan. And the first temptation that we see in Matthew chapter 4, it says that Satan comes and he says, if you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. I mean, come on, couldn't we justify that? Couldn't we say, hey, that makes common sense? Jesus has been here fasting and praying for 40 days, crying out to the Father. Come on, we know that Jesus was the Son of God. Come on, we know that he could do miracles. Come on, he turned 5 loaves and 2 fish, fed 5,000 men plus women and children. We know that Jesus turned water into wine. We know that he is the miracle man, and we know that he could have turned these stones into bread. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy in the Word of God, and he said this, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. You see, food and water will keep you alive, but just because you're alive, that doesn't mean you're really living. Just because you're alive doesn't mean that you are living the abundant life that God created you to live, because real life comes from God. Real life comes from His love. Real life comes from His grace. Real life comes from fellowship and relationship with Him. Real life comes from His truth. Real life comes from His power. Real life, it doesn't come just from one encounter. It doesn't come from a belief. No, listen to me, friends. Life comes from connection, being connected to the source of life. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was saying real life comes from the mouth of God. It comes from the words of God. And Jesus said, if you'll join your life with mine, going back into Matthew 11, if you will join your life with mine, join your life with mine, he says, let me teach you. Let me teach you. Join with me and let me teach you. What does this mean? This means Jesus wants you to be his disciple. But being a disciple requires that you have discipline every single day to bring your life into the oneness with Jesus so that he can teach you his ways, that he can teach you how to think, that he can teach you how to respond, that he can teach you how to love and how to forgive and how to give generously, that he can begin to teach you. It requires discipline every day to join your life with Jesus. Being a disciple is what keeps you from walking down the road of your own priorities. Being a real disciple, connecting your life with Jesus every single day, it's what keeps you from going down the road of your own opinions and your own perspectives and your own beliefs, which all of these things are going to lead you to death. They are actually going to lead you to fatigue when you are going your own way. But Jesus says, join your life with me. Do life with me, and I will teach you how to live, and I will give you rest, because real life and real rest is only found when we plug our life into the source of life. Not that we just believe in him, not that we just confess in him, but every single day we connect to him and we plug into him and we say, Jesus, I want to be your disciple. I want to do life the way that you want me to do it. In just a moment, I'm going to give you some practical things that are going to help you overcome fatigue, but I want you to hear this. If your soul is restless, then the things I'm about to give you are pointless. If your soul is restless, then the things I'm about to give you are pointless. You see, Jesus is the only one who can give you rest for your soul. Jesus is the only one who can refresh your life. Jesus is the only one who is the bread of life and the living water. Jesus is the only one who is your oasis. He is the only one that says, come and drink and you will never be thirsty again. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy you. He's the only one who can really fulfill the deep innermost parts of your soul. And so I'm going to give you some practical things for him in a moment, but listen, those things are pointless if you are restless. If your soul needs rest, then the only place that will come is from Jesus. And that's why we have to pray. And that's why we have to worship. And that's why we need to get into his presence. And that's why we need to listen. And that's why we've got to get connected with him in a very real and powerful way. And then we just got to keep repeating that. Why? Because if I am going to overcome the fatigue, it's going to begin with entrusting my life to him. I've got to entrust my future. I've got to entrust my fears. I've got to entrust my concerns. I've got to entrust my everyday life and say, God, I want to learn to live life the way that you want me to live it. We've got to entrust that to God. Now, after we do that, after we say, my soul needs rest, God, I'm going to connect with the source of life, the only one who can give me the life and the rest that I am really looking for. After we make that decision, we recognize that we are weary and we entrust our life and our way and our priorities, and we entrust all of these things to him. After we have done that, now let me just give you some practical areas in our lives that will help us overcome the fatigue that is overwhelming many of us. And let's start with this. Let's actually start with something that we all do, and that is eating. What you eat is going to determine how you feel. Come on, just think about it for a moment. You can't put Kool-Aid in your gas tank and expect your car to run the way that it was created to run. And it is the same way in our lives. We cannot put junk in our bodies and expect our bodies to operate at a premium level. Listen to me, folks. You can be flourishing in your soul, but if you are floundering in your diet, it's not going to feel like you are living the abundant life. Say it again, Pastor, for the people in the back. Okay, I'm going to say that again. You can be flourishing in your soul, entrusting your life and your future and your priorities to Jesus, flourishing, having rest in life on the inside of you. But if you are floundering in your diet, it is not going to feel like you are living the abundant life. Now, you don't need scientific studies for this. You don't need me to back this up, because we all know how we feel after a bag of Doritos or a package of Oreos. You know you don't feel as good when you are putting bad food in your body. Now, let me just take it a practical step. One step further is that you are going to eat whatever is in your kitchen. So if you say, Philip, I want to eat healthier, then what we need to do is we need to buy healthier. And you say, but wait a minute, sometimes healthy food is a little bit more expensive. But I want you to see for a moment the cost of not eating healthy, the cost of having fatigue, the cost in your relationships, the cost of the productivity on your job, the cost of not having the energy you need to play with your children, the cost of not being able to wake up early and spend time with God, the cost. Why? Because you're so fatigued, because we are eating bad foods. Can I just tell you one thing that this quarantine has done for me and Destiny? We started ordering organic juice from Well Fed. I'm telling you, man, they are delivering it to our house right now. Every single day now, we are drinking fruit juice, vegetable juice. We're drinking all of the juices. It has made such a difference in our lives because we know this to be true. What we put into our bodies is going to determine what we get out of our lives. So we have to make sure we are putting the right things in so that we can combat the fatigue that we are going to experience in our lives. But look, it's not just about eating, it's also about exercising. There are so many mental and emotional benefits that come with exercising. We're talking about better sleep at night. We're talking about reducing and alleviating anxiety. We're talking about greater self-confidence. There are so many positive things that come with exercising. Now listen, you don't have to go out and buy a Bowflex machine. I don't even know if they sell those anymore. You don't have to go out and get a gym membership. No, you can just start walking and jogging in your neighborhood. Do some push-ups, do some sit-ups. Get on YouTube and just find a little at-home workout that you can begin to do, because exercising is going to make a difference whenever it comes to your fatigue. And moving your body helps you feel like you are moving your life. You see, whenever I am stationary, I can feel like my life is stagnant. And that is not a good feeling. I don't want to feel like my life is stagnant. So I don't need to be stationary. I need to get up and I need to move. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And if life is in the blood, then don't we need to get our blood pumping to get life flowing through our body? Don't just settle for being stationary. Don't just settle for feeling stagnant right now in your life. No, get up and start doing some exercise. Get that blood pumping, get that life flowing, and get some of the benefits that come from exercise. Come on, we're talking about reducing stress. We're talking about having more energy. We're talking about sharper thinking. All of the benefits that come from exercise are things that we want. What we don't want is the pain and the trouble and the trial of exercise. But if we don't, guess what? Then we live with fatigue. And I don't want to live with fatigue. So I got to begin to exercise. I've got to begin to get my body and my life moving forward. So we know that eating and exercising is going to help us overcome our fatigue. But I've got another thought for you, and that is engaging. You see, you were not intended to do life alone. No, you were created for community. That's why we have a mission here at North Point Community Church, and that mission is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. Community, because we are supposed to do life together. That's why the Bible calls us the body of Christ, because we need to do life. We need each other. We need to do life together. This is why in the Bible we read about the dangers of offense, the danger of bitterness, the danger of unforgiveness. Do you remember that quote just a moment ago that we read from Dale Carnegie that talked about fatigue due to resentment? This is what offense creates. Offense creates resentment, which then builds up fatigue in our lives. You see, this is what happens whenever we get offended. When we get offended, it creates separation. That separation leads to isolation. Now the void that was created there begins to get filled up with deception and negativity, which pushes us farther into depression and hopelessness, which continues to build this fatigue in our lives. And ultimately, it will take us all the way to destruction if we don't intersect this cycle at some point. And so we have to see the enemy is trying to get you offended, not just to get you offended. Listen, the offense is not the end goal. It's isolation. It's depression. It's deception. And ultimately, it is destruction. So what we need to do is we need to beat the enemy at his own game, because he's trying to get you to disengage. But we're saying, no, because I know if I disengage, fatigue is going to go up, because God created me to engage, because engagement is a fatigue defeater in my life. And who do we need to be engaging with? We need to be engaging with people who challenge us. We need to be engaging with people who challenge us. Let their inspiration help you overcome your exhaustion. Let them inspire you. Let them motivate you. Let them challenge you, and let them help you overcome the exhaustion that you are experiencing in your life. But you don't get that if you are not engaging, if you are not listening, if you disconnect and disengage, your fatigue is going to go up. So let's make sure that we stay engaged. See, it's not only engaging that's going to help you overcome your fatigue, but it is also exiting. You see, just because I wasn't created to do life alone doesn't mean that I have to do life with you. That's right. You see, as we grow and as we develop and as we mature, there are two things that should be constantly exiting from our lives, and that is people and perspectives. Now, you might be saying, but wait a minute, whoa, hold up. You just said that we need to engage with people. We need to engage with the body, and that's exactly right. But listen, if I try to hold on too long to the wrong people, or if I try to hold on too long to flawed perspectives, then I will end up carrying extra weight that God never intended for me to carry. You see, I should grow out of perspectives, and I should outgrow some people. As I am on this journey to become everything that God created me to be, there are going to be some people that don't want to transform like you want to transform. Some people that don't want to submit every area of their life the way that you want to submit every area of your life. There's going to be some people that don't want to follow Jesus the way that you want to follow Jesus. They don't want to be as generous as you. They don't want to be who you want to be. And for those people, we have to learn how to exit out of their lives. If not, I will spend my life carrying their opinions, carrying their perspective, carrying their griping, carrying their complaining. I will begin to carry their problems as if they were my problems, and I will live fatigued, not because I wasn't engaging, but because I wasn't exiting. I wasn't removing myself from the people and the thoughts that I needed to exit from. You see, there are some toxic thought patterns. There are some toxic people. And you know what you need to do? You just need to say, exit stage left. It is time for me to move on with my life. I have got to exit. If you don't exit, you will live fatigue. I love the book by Marshall Goldsmith that says, "What got you here won't get you there." It's a fantastic principle, because there are some things that you've been holding on to, and they helped you get where you are right now, but they won't take you where you want to go. There are some philosophies, some ideologies, there are some thought patterns, there are some things that they got you here, and thank God they got you here, but they're not going to take you where you want to go. And it's time to exit those thought patterns. It's time to exit those behaviors. It's time to exit from some of those people who will be fatiguing. They will be energy draining and fatigue giving in your life. So what we see right here is that we've got to entrust our soul with Jesus. After we recognize that we are weary, we've got to entrust our soul with Jesus. And after we get our soul taken care of, we got to make sure that we're taking care of our physical bodies. Are we eating and are we exercising properly? Not only that, we got to make sure that we're taking care of this other area of our life, this mental and emotional side. We got to make sure that we are engaging, that we're not isolating. And we got to make sure that we are exiting from the perspectives and the people that we need to exit from. And why do we need to do all of this? Because as we entrust and as we eat and exercise, and as we engage and we exit, what we will find is that we will find this to be very encouraging. See, you're gonna get courage from Jesus as he gives you life and as he gives you rest. You're gonna get courage when you begin to eat the right things and you start exercising and you feel that self-esteem rising up and you feel more energy coming into your body and your anxiety is decreasing and you're getting better sleep at night. You're gonna feel that courage. And when you start engaging with people and exiting from other people, you are going to feel courage, because it's some people who are always taking your courage. They're robbing you of courage. They're speaking negative things over your life. Their hopelessness is becoming your hopelessness. And you're not engaging with people who are challenging you and inspiring you and motivating you and filling your life up with courage. But whenever we begin to do these three things, we recognize I am weary. My life is fatigued. And I'm going to let Jesus take care of my soul. And I'm going to begin to take care of my physical body. I'm going to begin to take care of the social aspect of my life. And when I do that, I will begin to find the courage that I need to live the life that God created me to live. This would be a great time for you just to type amen in the chat right now. I am with you, Pastor. This is what I need in my life. I am weary. I'm recognizing it. But just because I'm weary today, I don't have to be weary tomorrow, because I can come to Jesus and entrust everything in him. I can make some changes in my life and I can begin to feel the courage that I need in my life rise up in my life. Let me just close right now by giving you this scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And it says, let us not become weary in doing good. Come on, do you see that right there? Don't become weary in doing good. That lets you know that it is possible. You can get tired of doing good things. You can get tired in your prayer. You can get tired in your Bible reading. You can get tired in your serving. You can get tired in your generosity. It is possible to become weary as you are doing good, but at the proper time, the scripture says, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You see, this is why you need the encouraging, because you need the encouragement so you don't give up. You see, don't get stressed out and bounce out. No, learn how to handle it so you can get a harvest from it, because that's what the scripture promises. It says there is a harvest for those who don't quit. There is a harvest for those that don't give up. And what you need to not give up is courage. So do what you need to do to get the courage on the inside of you so that you can say today, you know what? I am not giving up. I am not giving in. I am not giving out. I'm not so stressed out that I'm bouncing out. No, I can handle it. I can learn how to successfully navigate these emotions and these thoughts and these actions. I can overcome it. I can find a way. I can handle it, because there is a harvest on the other side of it. And I am not going to give up on that harvest that God promised me in my life. Don't let fatigue rob you of the life that God has for you. Come on, I want you to put it right now in the chat. I can handle it. I can handle the stress. I can handle the fatigue, because you know that you are not alone. Jesus is your oasis. Jesus is your bread of life. Jesus is your living water. Jesus is your fulfillment. He is your satisfaction. And whenever your soul is weary, whenever you are tired and exhausted, you can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I entrust myself to you again, and you will find refuge. refreshment for your life. I believe that's what's happening right now to some of you in this moment. You feel refreshing coming into your life. You have been stressed out. You have been weighed down. You are feeling that tension. You are feeling that pressure. You are feeling that strain. The challenge is real. The trouble is real. You are feeling it in your life. But I believe right now, supernaturally, Jesus is bringing his refreshing. Right now, you are finding rest for your soul. And I know that whenever we experience that rest on the inside, that rest for our soul that can't come from anybody but Jesus, and then we begin to say, okay, I'm going to make some of these other changes in my life because I'm tired of fatigue determining which way I go and how I respond and what I do and don't do. So I'm going to begin to eat and exercise right. I'm going to begin to engage and exit because I need the encouragement not to give up. And come on, friends, I know that that is God's plan for your life. His plan is to give you a harvest. His plan is for you not to give up, to keep on enduring. You can handle it. Come on, I want to pray for you right now. Father, thank you for your word. We put our trust in you. God, we are entrusting our lives to you. Come on, if you say right now, Jesus, I am weary. I recognize that. Jesus, I am weary. I am tired. I am carrying a heavy burden. I feel laden down. The tension is too much. The strain is too great. I am fatigued right now. If that is you, come on, just tell God, say, God, that's me. That's me, and I'm coming to you, Jesus, as my oasis. I am coming to you, Jesus, as the one who will give me rest for my soul, as the one who can refresh my life. Jesus, I need you to speak your life-giving word into me in this moment. Come on, just tell God, God, that's me. I'm entrusting my soul to you, Jesus. I'm entrusting my future to you. I'm entrusting my opinions and my priorities and my perspective and my way. I am entrusting it all to you, Jesus. And right now, may you say, Philip, I'm putting all of my trust in Jesus, but you know there's some things that you need to change. You're feeling fatigued. And you know you need to change some things in your eating. You know you need to change some things in your exercising. Maybe you need to change some things in your engaging during this COVID-19. It's got you more isolated than ever before. Maybe there's some exiting that needs to take place. You're hanging on to too many bitter, resentful people. You're hanging on to too many people in your past that you're dragging them along, and they're causing you unnecessary fatigue. And it's time for you to let go of that and begin to move into the new place that God has in store for you. And you say, Philip, I need to do these things because I need the encouragement right now like never before not to quit. Come on, if that's you, just say, God, that's me. God, that's me. God, that's me. That's me. Father, right now, I pray for every single person, every person that's saying, that's me, God. I'm weary. I'm weary. I need you to come and refresh my soul. I'm praying right now for every person that knows they need to make some changes to overcome this fatigue in their eating and their exercising and their engaging and their exiting because they know they need this encouragement in their life. God, I'm praying that this week would be a week like none other. This week would be a week, God, where we begin to move out of fatigue, out of stress, and God, we begin to move into the abundant life that you created for us. Jesus, it's the life that you said we could have. And God, we thank you for making a way for us into this abundant life, into this life of overflow, into this life of joy, into this life of peace, into this life of power, into this life that you have. God, we thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Come on, go ahead and put a big amen on that today.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.